Hey, podcast listeners, still standing on the sidelines when you could be getting paid to play? Well, all your favorite NBA and college basketball teams are in action, and there's no better time to make sure you're betting with the best. BetDSI is one of the most reliable and profitable online sports books. Bet on the NBA, college basketball, MLB, UFC, NHL, and much more. It's your all-access pass for everything. And not only are there super quick payouts and bonuses, but BetDSI's live feature allows me to watch my team before I even bet. They even match any deposit you make up to $1,000. So play big, win big, and get paid anytime. Plus, when you sign up for BetDSI.com using our code, you'll get an extra 25%. That's 125% bonus. So join the winning team by signing on at BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN101. You'll more than double your bet. So don't leave money on the table. Visit BetDSI.com and use code WIN101. That's BetDSI.com, promo code WIN101, BETDSI.com, code WIN101.
Let's begin.
This is the Boss.
I'm the Boss.
And the Gloss.
My lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that.
Great to be sitting next to the Monday Night Delight on a Monday not like any other. I mean, it is
best Monday of 2019.
Yes, the headlines that are happening are just breathtaking. Antonio Brown, Trent Brown, Tyrone Mathieu, Trey Flowers,
Nick Foles,
Landon Collins, they're all flying, man. They're going places.
And it's only day one.
I thought this thing was supposed to start on Wednesday, hypothetically, right?
Official, becomes official on Wednesday.
These are the unofficial announcements.
Here we go, that's right.
And we've had fun unpacking them. We unpacked a lot of those big deals in hour number one, and we'll revisit some of them in hour two. We do have coming up a really fun conversation we're going to get with Dieter Kurtenbach. He is a columnist for the Bay Area News Group, and so he knows everything about what goes on in the Bay Area, including he'll get the latest on the Raiders and their big moves and what's taking place with the Warriors.
Or what's not taking place with the Warriors. Well, Cannot wait to talk to him.
When I just look at Steve Carr, he looks worn out. It looks like it's been a hard season out there.
Every season looks hard for Steve, though, I've got to say. He's kind of got that look. He doesn't give away too much.
Right.
But he's clearly frustrated. There was some lip reading going on last night in a couple little choice words being dropped about Draymond.
I read the lips as well. I heard a little profanity. He was not happy.
He just said, wow, really disappointed in Draymond right now.
A little disappointed in Draymond.
I'm pretty sure that's what he said, yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough season they've got going there. But nearly everybody, if you had to go place a bet, who's going to win? The Warriors will be back.
Boy, a lot of people are not worried. I'm a hometown girl. I'm a little bit worried. A little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. But I was last year, too.
Sure.
I mean, there was a time last year Steve Kerr was so frustrated with his team mid-game. He gave the clipboard over to Andre Iguodala and said, I'm out. You all take it. So this has happened before. And then what happened? They took care of the Cavs easily in five games.
All right. When we return, it'll be Dieter Kurtenbach of the Bay Area News Group. And we will ask him where the Warriors are headed. And will they beat the Rockets in the Western Conference Finals? You're listening to
SB Nation
Radio.
Night?
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, this is something I've been wanting to ask you for some time.
Oh boy, we always get one of these.
Well, you got so emotional about your Raiders and all their free agent acquisitions. I noticed you thrust your fist in the air so violently, there might have been some lingering pain. You strained a muscle. And what did you use to fix your wound?
Blue Emu.
Blue Emu.
I wouldn't use another thing. It's the only thing in my medicine cabinet. That's right.
The only thing in your medicine cabinet because you need nothing else. It is deep penetrating cream.
It's a panacea. Emu.
It doesn't stink either.
No, it doesn't.
It's fantastic.
I smell pretty darn good.
You smell fantastic.
Thank you, Blue Emu.
It's the number one selling emu oil brand in America. Blue Emu, no chill, no burn, no odor, and it is made in America. All right, joining us now on SB Nation Radio is Dieter Kurtenbach, and Dieter is a columnist for the Bay Area News Group. He also has a podcast, The Daily Dieter. Dieter, welcome into the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Hey, how's it going?
We are doing great, and she's doing especially well because she's a Raider fan, but I'm not going to let her get started on Raider.
He's holding me back.
I'm going to hold her back.
It's not good,
she's
Dieter.
A big Raiders fan. I want you to talk some Warriors, Carla. You've got some questions for Dieter. You need to hit him up.
Okay, you know, I have to start with this, Dieter, because it's the tale of two teams. Friday night, I'm watching them take care of the Nuggets beautifully. And then last night, I'm watching Golden State snap an 18-game win streak against the lowly Phoenix Suns. And I look at their three-point shooting, 51% Friday night against Denver, 23% against Phoenix. What's going on here? Is this a certain level of dominance? Do you get lax? Or is this a problem that you really see something permanent happening with this team?
Well, I wish I could tell you straight up if this is a disease or if it's just a symptom, but I can certainly tell you that this team is bored with the regular season, and
yeah.
It takes a fairly extreme circumstance to gear them up. Playing the Phoenix Suns on a Sunday late afternoon is not that extreme, and it certainly was a recipe for a letdown game, even though they promised that they weren't going to do that after beating the Nuggets. They said that they were going to kick it into a high gear after they lost by 33 points to the Celtics on Tuesday, but that high gear lasted one game. I can't hold it against them necessarily,
right,
on the basis of no team in the modern era has gone to the finals four straight years, much less five, which is what the Warriors are trying to do. And while the team has changed, obviously, in composition a little bit over those 5 years, they're still kind of tired of each other, and they've played 80 more games than any other, you know, team that doesn't make the playoffs. They get an entire other season on top of the season, and then you have USA Basketball and all of this trappings of fame that comes Steph Curry and Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green's way over the summer. These guys are tired, and it's hard for them to gear up for Phoenix. And it's almost impressive if the difference between a team like the Suns and a team like the Warriors wasn't so drastic. It's almost impressive that they're able to win any games at all. But when you have a team that talented, the expectation is that you should win every game. And I don't know if the Warriors they haven't shown championship habits this year. I don't know if those championship habits can be tapped into come playoff time. And that's really the only question. I do know that it's unlikely that we're going to see an extended excellent run from this team between now and the end of the regular season.
I think that's exactly what's missing, is we're seeing fits and starts, but no consistency. And, you know, I look at last year and see the frustration with Steve Kerr, you know, when he passed the clipboard to Andre Iguodala. You know, they have had a lot of seasons that didn't look great, and last year was one of them, and they were able to turn it on at the end. I don't know. There's just a lot of distractions with Kevin Durant this year in his free agency, Klay Thompson in his free agency. Draymond is having probably one of the worst seasons of his career. And it is a long season in the NBA, and I love that you pointed out 80 extra games is an insane amount at this level of play, and I hope they can turn it on. I really do, because I don't want to see anything permanently with this franchise in it. Do you think if the Warriors do not give Klay the Supermax, does he stay, and do they need to give him the Supermax?
My full expectation is that the Warriors understand how valuable Klay Thompson is, that he's a full max player, and that they will extend a contract to that extent, and that Klay Thompson will readily accept that contract, because certainly if the Warriors don't do it, there are going to be three or four other teams at minimum around the NBA that are going to do it. And the Warriors, as we've seen over the last few weeks, they do not do so well when Klay Thompson's not in the game. He's the glue of that team. I know there's a lot of stars and he can get lost in the fold, but what Klay Thompson provides on a nightly basis is something that is almost impossible to replicate, particularly when you're a cap-strapped team like the Warriors. So I fully expect Klay to stick around. He said as much this year. We forget that Klay Thompson is also in a contract year because he's handling it so much
right
more differently than Kevin Durant is. It's almost no drama whatsoever. He says he wants to stay. It's up to the Warriors to make him an offer that convinces him to stay. And I expect them to do that.
What do you envision is the fate of Kevin Durant?
I think that the breadcrumbs lead one way, and that way is east. Now, those breadcrumbs can be thrown out in another direction at any point, but right now my expectation is that he leaves town. And just picking up the vibes of this team last night, and I know that this is hardly concrete evidence of anything, but there's a lot of bad vibes on this team right now. Nothing malignant, nothing horrific, but everyone just seems to be in kind of a crappy mood all the time, even when they win. And I don't know what to necessarily attribute that to. I don't think there's one thing in particular that you can point to and say this is why, but it is a confluence of things. And part of that thing is Kevin Durant's pending free agency and his testy attitude. He certainly had a rough go. I think everyone saw the press conference where he told certain members of the media to grow up. It really hasn't gotten any better from there, despite the fact that I think that we haven't exactly been combative with Durant at all. He seems to wanting to pick fights during his press conferences. It's very peculiar. Everyone's kind of walking on eggshells around him. The team has been doing that for the entirety of the season, and particularly after Draymond Green and him had that blow up on the bench in L.A., part of me thinks that this team just needs to shake up its roster overall at the end of the season, whether they win or lose. And Kevin Durant can take care of that on his own. But if Kevin Durant stays, maybe they need to do another shakeup after that, because it's really hard. It's really hard to fight the fight with the same people year in and year out. Eventually, and the team has admitted this, you just kind of get sick of being around each other all the time. These guys spend more time with their teammates than their families. So I can understand that frustration, and maybe a shakeup is necessary just because there are diminishing returns, and we're seeing some of them right now. I don't know what next year would bring if they roll it back.
We're talking with Dieter Kurtenbach, sports columnist for the Bay Area News Group, and has a podcast, The Daily Dieter. So, Dieter, with Kevin Durant, how you said the breadcrumbs are pointing east, is there any truth to the rumor that, his handler, agent, Kleeman, is offered a job with the Knicks, and would that help to bring Durant to the Knicks, and is that kind of all intertwined?
I can't confirm that rumor, especially not here, but
right.
there is a lot of smoke around that situation, and I would not be shocked if there was fire on the other side, mm-hmm. but we just can't see the fire right now. Kevin Durant is there. Let me put it to you this way. The Knicks are going to make an extremely competitive offer for Kevin Durant. I fully expect the Warriors to do the exact same thing. The Clippers will do the same thing. Other teams will probably want to get into the fold. Kevin Durant has said time and time again, it's not about money. He's made more money than he'll ever know what to do with. It's about legacy. And his legacy, he says, is not tied to basketball. And that's a very easy thing to say and an understandable thing to say when you consider that he's won two finals MVPs. And he's been arguably the best player on the planet for the last few years. And he hasn't necessarily gotten that recognition, not in the Bay Area, and I don't think nationally. And maybe it's the part in the Bay Area that bothers him most, because Stephen Curry took a team that was a perennial laughingstock, and with him at the epicenter playing this revolutionary style of basketball, he turned them into this dynasty. I mean, this is Steph's team, and it always will be. And Steph has a 5-year contract. He's not going anywhere. And Kevin Durant comes in, and his contributions to what's happened the last 2-3 years have been immense, arguably larger than Curry's when you consider the postseason accolades that he's picked up. But it will always be Steph's team, and perhaps that's something in the back of his mind that says, listen, I will go down as one of the great players in NBA history, but I need to go out at least trying to see if I could do it on my own. In Oklahoma City, we couldn't get it done with Westbrook and Harden for a time being. Got it done in Golden State, but it was always Steph's team. What if I go to New York or the Clippers and I try to do it and it's my team? And he certainly has the opportunity to do that. He's 30 years old. He's in his prime. He'll probably be dropping 25 until he's 38 years old. That's an opportunity that I can absolutely understand why it could excite Kevin Durant. And I just don't know what he's going to do. And I, truth be told, I think other people have a better idea, but I'm not sure Kevin Durant fully knows right now either.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Dieter Kurtenbach. I've got about one more minute. I want to get your grades on the Raiders' two acquisitions, Trent Brown and Antonio Brown. How do you grade those two pickups for the Raiders?
The Antonio Brown pickup, when we're just talking trade value, was immense. I mean, that was a steal. The Trent Brown deal, I don't quite understand based on the fact that the Raiders run an outside zone blocking scheme and Trent Brown proved incapable in San Francisco of running outside zone. But he's an immense talent. He's an immense person. And the Raiders needed offensive line help after they dropped Kelechi Osemele. What I don't understand is now that they're buying players less than a year after they decided they needed to dump all their high-cost players, I don't know if they're rebuilding or trying to win now, but I don't know if they're going to be able to win now or rebuild. It's a very peculiar circumstance going on in Oakland, but I'm not sure what else they expected there.
Well, one thing they certainly have picked up in all this is a lot of draft capital. Do you have a vision for what they're going to do with those top picks? I mean, three picks in the first round, the first one of which is the number four overall.
Yeah, I would imagine that they'll take a pass rusher with the number four overall pick. There are plenty of good options available to them there. And after that, I would imagine that John Gruden, given his preference for one side of the ball, will go offense and offense. But this team needs all of the draft capital it can get. They have a lot of holes that need to be filled. Doing it through the draft is the smartest way to do it. I just don't know if that's going to provide the immediate returns that they seem to be looking for with the acquisition of Antonio Brown and the acquisition of Trent Brown.
All right, he's Dieter Kurtenbach. Dieter, thanks so much for joining us. You can hear his podcast, The Daily Dieter. Get his podcast. Dieter, thanks again.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Now, Carla, I want you to know that when it gets cold out there, your vehicle needs some extra attention. O'Reilly Auto Parts has everything you need to keep your vehicle toasty warm, from choosing the right antifreeze for your engine to replacing your windshield wiper blades. O'Reilly will help you get your car or truck in fighting shape for the cold weather ahead. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. You got that?
Yes, I've got some bad news for you.
Tell me your bad news.
Strike two Texans. So they lose Tyrann Mathieu to the Chiefs,
yes,
a three-year deal. Now they're losing safety Kareem Jackson to a three-year $33 million, $23 million guaranteed to the Broncos. So now we're pretty much wiping out the safeties.
So Kareem Jackson's going to get paid more than $11 million a year.
He's over a 10-year vet.
That's an amazing deal. The Broncos are paying top dollar for him. That's striking to me. I mean, his season wasn't that great.
No, he's very versatile. You know, he can play the cornerback position as well as safety, but he is older.
Yeah.
And I know the Texans wanted to get stronger, faster, and younger at that position.
Right.
So, unfortunately, just lost Tyrann Mathieu tonight, the Honey Badger, and Kareem is now gone, Kareem Jackson. So, wow. They better hope for a good draft, you know, safety draft. They've got Justin Reed, the kid out of Stanford, who this will be his second year, and he was a third rounder that definitely played like a first rounder.
Yeah.
Did not miss a tackle the entire season. I love me some Justin Reed, but he cannot do it alone.
Justin Reed, brother of Eric Reed.
Brother of Eric Reed. Two
and
different
really
guys.
A great third round pick.
Amazing.
By Gaines. Give him some credit for that one. But Texans need some defensive back help generally.
Hello.
And they need some offensive line help very, very urgently. So it will be
lots is going out, but none's coming in.
Yeah, it's imperative. You know, it's interesting because first hour we got to talk to Lance Erline about the draft and what the Texans might do. And looking at the large amount of needs and the way the talent stacks up in this draft, he envisioned they might even want to trade back. Mm-hmm. That there they sit
pick
at number 23 overall in the first round. If they could get another second round and move back, then that might be an intriguing way to pick up another player or two, because they've really got to get several offensive linemen and several defensive backs out of this draft.
And, you know, what we do know from Brian Gain, we don't have a long body of work. He was first-year GM last year, but his draft was outstanding.
Yep.
And we went through that a couple weeks ago. Like, everybody he drafted, you know, first the first pick, being in the third round, which was Justin Reed, played like a first rounder, was phenomenal all season, and it just went on
and the
down.
The two Jordans, the tight ends. The
tight ends were fantastic. Yep. They just didn't use them enough. So he had a great draft. I trust his draft knowledge, and I would love more picks for the Texans. Love it.
It's interesting. As we came in here, Jake Asman, who preceded us on the show, said he envisioned the Texans making a run at Earl Thomas, mm-hmm. which is not the widespread rumor. I mean, the conventional wisdom is that Earl Thomas is going to land with either the Cowboys or the 49ers. But now when you look at the Texans' defensive backfield and the dollars they have to spend, they may well want to take a close look at Earl Thomas.
They've got over $70 million to spend. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they would. They just lost two veterans in the Honey Badger and Kareem Jackson. So while Justin Reed is great, I think you also want a veteran presence in there as well. So interesting.
Well, and tonight,
I don't like the quietness coming out of Houston.
What has just happened has been indicative of the whole night. We were planning to talk a little NBA. We were going to take this conversation from the Warriors last segment where we had a chance to visit with our friend Dieter Kurtenbach. And I wanted to talk to you about Lakers, but the NFL just keeps intruding, right? There's another
it's
breaking
the gift
story
that keeps on giving.
Every 45 minutes, everybody is signing somewhere. But there's still some big names out there. Earl Thomas, sort of at the top of the list. Le'Veon Bell, of course, hanging out there.
Well, and I keep seeing a tweet from Le'Veon Bell. This is a big decision. This is so hard. So obviously, there are a lot of teams in need of a running back, including Oakland, which would be fascinating to unite Brown and Bell yet again.
Well, they'd have their own version of triplets there.
Yes.
Carr, Brown, and Bell would be a heck of a 1-2-3. And then you add, of course, they've got a left tackle in Trent
that
Brown.
Would be.
It'd be amazing, actually. Then you'd really be over the top. Actually, Jose, we cannot let that happen.
Oh, no. Y'all would not be able to contain
me. This woman has been too effervescent, over the top,
excited.
It'd be excited.
Like Fat Tuesday all over again.
You might have to take the show off next week. Let her do the gloss show by herself.
Send her away for a little while. Let her calm down.
Send her to Oracle for a game?
Exactly. I mean, y'all are just jealous because my team is like smoking it.
It's interesting.
So
last segment, we were talking to Dieter Kurtenbach. He envisioned, well, as he said, he thought Kevin Durant might go to the Clippers or might go out east to the Knicks. And, of course, the Knicks seem to be the front runner for that. But never did he even mention the Lakers. And the shine is off the Lakers.
Shines
and
off.
Perhaps the shine is off LeBron. Of course, the vision was when LeBron went to the Lakers, that would be a great magnet for people like Durant, people like an Anthony Davis, maybe a Paul George. They would all, maybe even Kyrie Irving would come back to the Lakers. But right now, the mood in L.A. is pretty dark, and I don't think there's a whole lot of excitement about LeBron.
Well, you look at this past week. I mean, he passed Michael Jordan all-time scoring list.
That's a big deal.
That is a huge deal. Now, also keep in mind that Michael Jordan had a two-year break in his career. So he and still was able to put up this kind of numbers. And LeBron has not had that kind of break. And it's a very different game as it's evolved. Anyway, aside from all of that, that is an enormous accomplishment. During that game, LeBron started the first quarter missing four consecutive free throws and was being booed by Lakers fans. Booed.
I actually can never remember LeBron James being booed by his home team.
No.
On his home court. No.
It was so anticlimactic. So when the moment happened, the fans did stand up. They did cheer for him.
They acknowledged the record.
They acknowledged it. And there was a scoreboard that displayed a video during the timeout. They had to wait for a timeout showing LeBron's highlights. But you know what was so weird about that? Of course, the highlights were in the vast majority in Cavs uniforms and Heat uniforms.
Of course.
Because he's only played for the Lakers for two-thirds of a season. So that's got to be a bit weird, too, honestly, for Lakers fans, as you're acknowledging this, but he's not really yours yet.
Yeah, you're celebrating his success that happened elsewhere.
And I think, you know, I'm going to put a little bit of the blame of that on LeBron himself, that he's not being completely embraced by LA fans. Because what I think LeBron has done, I think he has embraced the L.A. lifestyle. Like, he wanted to come to Hollywood. You know, he's got this Maverick Carter, you know, businesses, and he does movies and produces songs and all of this. And L.A. is the perfect place for him to be. But I don't know that he's embraced the Laker reason for being in Los Angeles. And I think Lakers fans are feeling that. You know, we've seen LeBron sitting away from his teammates. alone on the throne. There he is.
Alone on the throne.
And guess who else picked up that little move? So in the game this past Wednesday when LeBron passed Michael Jordan for all-time on the scoring list to number four, Rajon Rondo wasn't happy with getting blown out. So he sits alone, away from the bench.
Alone on the toilet seat, that might be.
No, throne for the king.
Yes, I understand.
But, you know, and then you see in the during the game, Luke Walton and his coaching staff are very angrily looking down at Rajon Rondo, like, what the heck's going on? And guess what Rondo did? Stole even more of the little bitty spotlight that LeBron got that night, you know, for passing that milestone. It's a mess in L.A. It's a mess. Who wants to come to that?
Well, next segment, we'll have our He Said, She Said segment. We'll hear from Jeff Van Gundy, who even tossed out the possibility that maybe the Lakers should trade LeBron this offseason.
He got creative.
It's the He Said, She Said segment when we return on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. We are in the He Said, She Said segment. And we're going to start with Drew Rosenhaus, who explained to the NFL Network. Well, let's just say Drew Rosenhaus had a very, very good week because Rosenhaus was the agent for Trent Brown, Antonio Brown, and Kawhi Alexander, who just signed with the 49ers on a big deal. Rosenhaus had a great week. But he went on NFL Network and explained that both Antonio Brown and the Steelers should be happy with their divorce. Let's hear what he had to say.
Good for him to, you know, have a new relationship with the new organization. Things got strained there, and it would be better to start over. Those 9 years were great, but the ending was tough, and it was time to move on. You know, and we're thankful that the Steelers were able to get compensation for him, and everybody wins here.
Ha, 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 ha.
Oh, here comes the Raider fan in you.
But honestly, I mean, I love Drew Rosenhaus's spin.
Yes.
But I can't see that there's anyone in the Steelers organization that is saying, phew, so glad that the number one receiver in the NFL is off our roster. Praise the Lord.
For a third and a fifth round draft pick.
Yes. They just got duped.
Yeah. The notion that they came out well is silly. I mean, yeah, this is spin.
What Drew Rosenhaus means is Antonio Brown came out well and I came out well.
He
and
sure
he did. And hey, he brokered a beautiful deal. So hand it to him. But, yeah, no, let's not be fooled. The Steelers are not celebrating.
Okay, Steelers not celebrating. Antonio Brown and Drew Rosenhaus are, with all the money they got. John Gruden is pretty happy, head coach of the Raiders.
Yeah.
Let's see what he had to say about his new receiver.
What's the greatest thing about this man is I've told all our receivers, if you get a chance to watch him practice, you'll see what unlocks the greatness in him. He's the hardest working man, I think, in football, hardest working player I've ever seen practice. And I've seen Jerry Rice. I've seen a lot of good ones. But I put Antonio Brown at the top. And if there's any young wideouts out there, I'd go watch him practice and you figure out yourself why he's such a good player.
Wow, high praise.
From a guy, and this is John Gruden's thing, is the work ethic.
Yep.
And I mean, he can work. You can teach anything else, but you cannot teach work ethic. Mm. And let me tell you, John Gruden took a lot of heat all season long for signing his own 10-year, $100 million contract, and immediately trading Khalil Mack, trading Amari Cooper, and who's laughing now? He brought in a workhorse that's going to be a really great example. First of all, compare with Jordy Nelson, a really great example to the young guys that are coming up. If you make Gruden happy, it's going to be good.
All right, you heard it from the Princess of Darkness herself. Let's go to the next one. David Irving, boy, he is a physical talent. Big, strong, and when he was on the field for the Cowboys, he played very, very well. But he had trouble staying on the field, both because of injuries and because he kept getting suspended for substance abuse. Well, he's now decided that he's going to walk away from football. He took to Instagram to explain why. Let's listen to David Irving, former defensive tackle of the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, I have concussions every day. You know, I get to see around the office how that f***s your head up. And I feel it, you know, crashing cars, all types of stuff, you know, day after the game. And, you know, I'm not about to be told what to do. I mean, really, especially because it's not really what it seems. Oh, every year smoking weed for throwing away millions of dollars. I've been in the football league, what, for 5 years? I'm not rich. Still ain't got a million. Still ain't seen a million. I'm not putting up with for no reason.
Well, there's that.
Yeah. Well, he was eloquent in his presentation.
Yes, he is.
I mean, this is a guy who does have a notorious issue about or habit of smoking marijuana. And he has taken a stand against the NFL's policy that players cannot smoke marijuana. And you can make that case, and there's a debate to have there. The notion about the concussions is sort of spooky, that he really needs to get away from the game because of the concussions he suffered.
And I am okay with that reasoning. Mm-hmm. I really am. But, you know, he was complaining in that piece right there that we heard that he's not made millions yet. Well, good luck getting a job that you're going to be paid even remotely what the NFL pays.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been in the year five years, undrafted, and so talented.
Well, a big reason
his ceiling is high.
Big reason he hasn't made his money is
that he's high.
He was suspended and therefore not getting paid.
Right. So he actually, you're right.
He
exactly.
could have made big money. He had the talent to play. I mean, the Cowboys really gave him a long rope, kept giving him second and third chances, hoping he could put it all together. I mean, on that defensive line, he's had issues with suspension. Of course, Randy Gregory has had issues with suspension. It's been a real struggle to keep some talented players on the field. They're not giving up on Gregory. Gregory's sticking around. David Irving is done. All right, let's shift gears. It was the Celtics versus the Lakers and a TV broadcast. And Jeff Van Gundy, the wise one, made a case for the almost unthinkable. And that was the idea that maybe the Lakers this offseason should trade LeBron James. Let's hear Jeff Van Gundy.
And look, I think in the offseason, they have to rebuild this roster, right? And to me, it could be a trade with, you know, for an Anthony Davis, or I think they need to explore trading LeBron for getting as much as they can.
What are you doing? Seriously. No, seriously, what are you doing?
You got to get on the right timeline. If I could trade him for the Clippers into cap space, which would give me a better chance to get Durant or Kawhi Leonard, would I not do that?
Okay, LeBron James is not getting traded, okay?
You got to put everything on the
table. No, you can't. As a business decision, this man came to the Los Angeles Lakers. You got to – that can't be – part of the deal, me trading you.
Hold on.
Later.
All I hear from the players now is it's business. Everything is business. Well, if it's business, then I have to do what's best for my business. I'm not saying you definitely trade him. I'm saying everything's on the table to get this team better. Everything.
Jeff Van Gundy is 100% right. And Mark Jackson, being a former player, I think he's got a different look with it. And LeBron is no longer untouchable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jeff Van Gundy is a smart guy. And when he was coaching the Knicks, he made some questionable moves, bringing in veterans that just panned out immediately, and he learned from that. Guess what? A lot of young players, including the ones on the Lakers roster right now, don't want to play with him. They don't. They have just been, you know, the whole Anthony Davis thing that blew up. You know, Kyle Kuzma doesn't want to play with him anymore. Lonzo Ball, they're not saying it, but they're like dogs with tails between their legs. And you got to look at Rob Pelinka, too, the general manager there for the Lakers. He's not very well liked in NBA circles. I don't know how well he is going to be able to attract talent to play around LeBron. I don't know. I think Jeff Van Gundy's onto something. I'm not saying you automatically trade him, but you listen. To what if no one is going to come? No one that you need to take this team to the next level. You have to look at.
Well, that's my perception as well. Look, plan A is to get another superstar to bring in a Kevin Durant. That hopefully the shine of LeBron is still sufficient to bring in another player. Couple him with LeBron and a good supporting cast, some other players around that, and they have a real run and a real shot. That's plan A. you track somebody to pair with LeBron. If they can't get another superstar, they can't redo what they've just done. They cannot have another year like this. Yeah, if they can't get plan A, plan B is to trade LeBron and position yourself with lots of cap money to go get different stars and rebuild. It's a different day.
You're right. What worries me about the Lakers front office, though, when, you know, Dr. Buss was alive and he's no longer, may he rest in peace. So what is that, what happens a couple years ago when Kevin Durant, when they had that big bump in the salary cap because of TV revenues, and Kevin Durant was able to sign with Golden State only in that weird year that they had that big revenue bump. Who do the Lakers sign? They were the first move in free agency with all this money. Timofey Mozgov to an enormous four-year contract. Timofey who? Like, really?
Timofey you.
Yeah. Might as well be Tina Fey.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just kind of go, wow, is that what they're going to do? I don't know. I question what's going on in that front office.
Sure. All right. After that game, the Celtics beat the Lakers. Kyrie Irving gave a lucky fan his pair of game-worn shoes.
Oh, this is awesome.
And here's the reaction of the father of the fan. And, you know, I thought that the gloss was excited when she got a new pair of shoes. They seem a little over the top.
That's really not the dad. That was me when I found out Antonio Brown became a Raider.
That's what it sounds like. You just replayed the audio, didn't you, Jose?
I did. I captured the
yeah,
audio.
Yeah, I got it.
My voice gets a little manly when I get super excited. So there we go.
All right, let's go to the next one. We'll just let you play the audio first, Jose.
Once again, down to the wire. Harden on Brunson. Into the paint. Runner, no. Rebound, Mavs. 5 seconds to go. Dallas looking for the win. Brunson got it off. It was blocked. Chris Paul with the block at the buzzer, and the Rockets survive and win in Dallas, 94-93.
That was a great play by Chris Paul and a great win for the Rockets, who seem to be putting things together as we head down the stretch.
Well, you've got the Rockets on an 8-game winning streak and peaking at exactly the right time in the season. And this is why you pay Chris Paul. I mean, should they have been a 1-point differential with the Dallas Mavericks? No, not really. But neither should Golden State have lost to the Phoenix Suns at Oracle. So a lot of weirdness happening. It's late in the season. Regular season games really kind of don't matter, especially to these playoff contending teams. They just need to get to the playoffs. And Golden State is stumbling into the playoffs, and the Rockets are soaring.
All right, well, talking about Golden State, the Warriors suffered that embarrassing loss to the Suns.
Oy, oy, oy.
And Klay Thompson said it was due to the fans.
And I expect our crowd to be a little more into it, too. Like, I know it's not the playoffs, but it is our last go-around at Oracle. At least you can stand up if someone make a good play, especially in the beginning. We need that energy, especially this time of the year. It's hard to conjure up energy every single night because you're looking forward to the playoffs and that run. So we expect our fans to kind of, you know, bring that from the jump. You can't, I mean, it's like us, though. You can't bring it every night, but still it helps when it doesn't matter if we're playing the Suns or the Bucks, whoever it is. We need that energy from them because we feed off that.
He's right, and then he's wrong. He's right. The Oracle's a really special place, and I've been very fortunate to grow up in that arena and, you know, be in games there. It is small. It's intimate. It's special. And you really, the team really does feed off the energy of the fans. It's the chicken before the egg. Give the fans something to feed off of. They got their booty handed to them. 33-point loss to the Celtics not even a week ago, and then they turn around and lose to the Suns. It is hard as a Warriors fan. You've come to expect this level of excellence. So, Clay, I get what you're saying, but they've got to have something to cheer
about.
Well,
I remember when you were out there a couple weeks ago, floor seats, watching the Rockets and the Warriors. You said the Warriors just didn't come to play.
They were down 15-0 run to start the game.
That just doesn't happen to a team like the Warriors.
That was Carla's fault. She wasn't cheering enough, apparently.
Yes, it's right.
Exactly.
Clay's calling out Carla.
Yes, and so's Jose.
All right, one more. Bryce Harper. You want to tell us what Bryce Harper did this week, Jose?
Yeah, so spring training, highly anticipated. He made his debut. He's born in Las Vegas, but boys, he's trying to get the Phillies fans behind him.
He is.
Batting third, the designated hitter
in Westfield,
number three, Bryce Harper.
You guys like his walkout music.
I like it. It's Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme song.
You were dancing in the break here. I saw you.
I was breaking it down.
She was breaking it down as always.
Jose, you like it?
Yeah, I love it. It's a little pandery, right? But it's awesome. I love it. It's a nice
sentiment. Tell us the lyrics for our listeners who are you know.
On West Philadelphia, born and raised, on a playground is where I spent most of my days.
There we go.
Welcome to the Phillies.
You know, credit Bryce Harper for trying to get some love there. That's true. Now, do you think he's calling himself a Fresh Prince?
I guess so, right?
I kind of think so.
Better than a beat-up old prince.
Yeah. It
he's certainly a rich prince.
Yes.
All right. When we come
paid
back,
like a prince.
We'll have our closing segment. We get to take a look at what we've learned from the gloss during the last couple of hours. You're listening to the SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, my favorite segment. We get to learn or review what we've learned from the gloss during the past 2 hours. And this one, we just have to start with because it's sort of been the theme of the night. She's been kind of obvious.
Captain Obvious.
She is in love with what the Raiders are doing this offseason and thinks John Gruden is getting the last laugh on everybody.
He is. Congratulations, Gruden and Mayock. Nice, nice first week.
And boy, their offseason is not done. They've got all those draft picks. And maybe they'll go get Le'Veon Bell.
Too good to be true. You won't even want to see me with that happen.
No, it'll be too much. We will have to give you.
I'm sorry. I know I've been a lot today, but it's just too
exciting. Sedate you. Just calm you down. All right, next one. The Golden State Warriors. All the naysayers, all the drama, all this. The gloss says, don't give up on them yet. They can still make a run.
They have been able to turn it on in the postseason. I think it's going to be difficult. It's not going to be easy, but they can do it.
Okay.
They've got the talent to do it. They might have to redo this roster. We'll see.
All right. The Texans. They lost Kareem Jackson. They lost the Honey Badger. You want them to do something. Make a move.
Make a move today. Tired of seeing every other headline. They've got the exit door open. Where's the entrance door? Bring it in.
All right. You heard it from the gloss. And next up will be Alex Gold, the gold standard, will be celebrating his Chiefs picking up the Honey Badger on a night when the NFL has dominated. SB Nation Radio, the Boss and the Gloss.